Hello, everybody. This is Party Mixologist Jules, and you're listening to Geeky Pleasures only here on Party 93.4 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York. And I currently have Mike Lombardo with me right now. Mike, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what we're going to do is we're going to play some music here and let everybody trickle in to Ustream chat. They can listen to our shenanigans before we like start the interview and all that other stuff. If you do not know the Ustream chat URL, it's currently up right now. If you go to www.party934.com and then there's like a DJ on air message box and you'll find the URL there. So, Geeky Pleasures coming up very, very quickly here with Mike Lombardo, only on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York. This is Party Mixologist Jules sitting down with Mike Lombardo today on Geeky Pleasures. You're currently listening to his song, That Will Be the Day. If you're not in Ustream chat with us right now, you're actually missing out on quite a bit. And you can ask Mike. There's different ways you can ask Mike questions live. You can tweet them to us either at Jules_Party934, or you can tweet Mike at Mike Lombardo, or you can go to Party934.com. Click on the request page, choose a shout-out from the drop-down menu, and hopefully I can get to it through this huge stream of people in Ustream talking a million miles a minute. Thank you, Mike, for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Joe just asked, because he's a bugger. First, I had asked people a few days ago if they have any questions for you to send them to me, and I will try to ask them. And Joe, being the cheeky bugger that he is, said, I think his question was, how does it feel to know Joe Covenant Lamb?
Oh, see, I think I might need time to think about this, because the emotions are so strong that I really have to choose my words carefully. You know, it's like winning a Grammy or something where you really want to do it justice. There are some feelings that English can't communicate, and that's one of them. It's an immense honor. I'm very touched.
That's not the words I would use. Not at all. But that's fine. He also wanted, because do you know what he did one time? Because I have to explain his, is Mike naked, Jules? I have to explain that question, because he phoned into my show about a month ago, and I asked him if he was wearing his kilt and if he had anything, or if he was a true Scotsman and he wasn't wearing anything underneath of his kilt. And he said to me live on air that he wasn't wearing anything at all.
So that answers that age-old question then.
Yeah, but he's trying to screw me up again by me having to ask you if you're naked, and that's fine. Yes, I'm. Let's see. So, let's first introduce people who may not be familiar with you, who are listening either in Ustream or online right now, or on the FM. Who are you? Do a little brief bio. Who's Mike Lombardo?
Oh, this is pressure. Mike Lombardo is a young man from upstate New York who plays the piano and writes songs and is generally chased around by hordes of little girls on the YouTubes. And very young. Thank you, Jeff. Very young girls. I'm a songwriter. I'm a sensitive dude, and therefore in the geek category. I guess that's what earns me that title.
No, that doesn't earn you that title. I'll let you know later what earns you the title of geek. And okay. where did you went and you studied music in university, yeah? Or college, as
I
they call it in the States.
It's college, yes. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts.
And what did you study there? What was your major?
My major was songwriting, but there's kind of a lot of overfill, so it's like you're doing recording, you're doing management, you're doing all the stuff anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we just wrote songs, we studied all that stuff, but my degree says songwriting.
Oh, for a second there, I thought the call was going to be dropped. There was another question. Okay, we're going to talk first. The way that I think that you know a lot of people that may be in chat right now is through the Masters of Song Fu. I actually want to talk about Song Fu, and it's Song Fu 5 going on right now, I think.
Yes.
And yes. You're not participating this year. Why is that?
I'm glad I did it when I did it. I was in 3. That's how I met a lot of these guys. And I'm like, I mean, it's kind of weird because they're my real friends. I talk to them more than I talk to my real life friends. And I get yelled at by my mom for being on the computer all the time. But basically, I don't have time. I work a ton of, like, I work 4 jobs and I'm touring and writing constantly and working on, you know, the new album. And it's kind of like, now I have to do this to make money. I have to pay my bills like this, and I'm not in college anymore. So as much as I'd like to take the time out of working on a new album and write a song about a number, I can't. You know what I mean? Because now it's like this song, it's like this investment that you're making. I get something back for the songwriting time now, and that's either it's going on an album or I'm going to play it at a show. Or I can't. I pretty much don't have a lot of time to write free songs. I wish I did.
Four jobs? What are you doing right now? I know one of them you're setting up your venue, and I want to talk about that, too.
Oh, that doesn't count, though.
That doesn't count? So you have...
I guess that's 5.
So that's 5. Okay, what are your 4 jobs right now?
I teach private piano lessons, which is nice because it's flexible hours. I work at a recording studio, which is nice because I get free studio hours. I am the music director at a church in my hometown. And that's good because I get healthcare, and that's a big one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware, but there's a raging debate over healthcare in the United States right now.
Yes,
so.
I am very aware of it.
I'm very fortunate because that's one of those things that most musicians can't afford health insurance.
Mm-hmm. It's bloody expensive down there. I don't even know how some people do it.
Well, my dad is an insurance agent, and basically if I wasn't doing that job, it would be like $450 a month, which is crazy.
It is crazy, so, yes.
There's no way I could afford that, and otherwise, if I get by a car, that's it, that's out of pocket. So, I mean, so I do that, and then I also, you know, drive around in a van and play stupid songs for people, and they buy my t-shirts. That's the 4th job. So.
And you're setting up a venue. Tell people about that, because it's really exciting.
It is very exciting. I grew up in this tiny town called Rome, New York, which no one's ever heard of unless you're a fan of Woodstock, the music festival, because Woodstock 99 was in Rome, a few blocks from my house, and I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the topless women and everything. But anyway, great experience when you're 11. When I went to Berkeley and then we were driving around touring and playing all these really cool venues all over the country, I realized that my town doesn't have any place, nor does the entire county, really. There's no place for kids to play. There's one bar. There's really no venues, and it was really frustrating being in a van growing up. Like, we practice and we have all these songs to play, there's nowhere we can go and play. And we're like playing shows in people's garages and stuff, and that's, that stinks. And so I talked to the kid who was the drummer in that original band of mine, who's still a good friend of mine, and I was like, we can do this, dude, let's get a venue together. And it's a thought we've had for a while, but now was the first time we felt like we actually knew enough to be able to do it. So I called the city government people, and we're currently in the business plan stage. But we want to have this all-ages venue where the tickets are affordable for kids, and local bands can get in and play, and we're not going to be jerks about the booking process, but we can also have touring acts and just provide, a wide variety of genres of music for people to come out and check it out, because there's no music scene in our town because there's no place for music to be performed. And I think it's just a cycle, so we're going to try and stop that.
That's really cool. And also, when I said Song Fu, and then that some people in the chat know you from Song Fu, but a lot of people are TMA, and let's talk about TMA or Too Much Awesome. What is TMA, Too Much Awesome?
TMA is a brainchild of all my late night rendezvous with Jeff McDougal, and I word it that way very specifically for a reason. basically, anyone that's into kind of the new model thing, they're Jonathan Colton fan, Paul and Stormer fan, they both have forums on their website. And I was like, I would love to have forums, but like, I know I don't have nearly enough fans for that to not just collect dust. And Jeff was like, yeah, me too. And we were like, dude, let's share a website. And so we were like starting to think of all these cool things we could do for the website, and it kind of grew out of that. So now we've got the site, we have I don't know, like upload like 15 different artists, and we do a podcast every week, and we interview different artists, and we have a live chat that's running all the time, and we have different contests, and it's basically just a bustle of activity, all kinds of songwriters and fans that are just on there all the time. And so I think Jeff and I are actually really surprised by how cool it actually ended up. But it's basically a hub for songwriters and fans of cool music. So
that's really cool. And some of the people that you have done podcasts with are Joe Covenant Lamb, who's in chat right now making a nuisance of himself, and Jeff. Well, he's your co-host. You just mentioned
Jeff is
him.
Your co-host. Yes.
Yes, and you've had Molly Lewis.
We have.
As
we
one
have.
Of your podcasts, and yes. You've had Paul and Storm.
We have. They were our first guests, actually.
Yes, and you've played with Paul and Storm before, haven't you?
I have not, that I know of.
Really? I thought you did for some reason.
Well, what happened is they wrote that Frogger song for Song mm-hmm. Fu. And it was really overproduced and funny and just over the top. And Jeff loved it that way. And they kept going, oh, we can't do it live, we can't do it live. And I was like, that's bull crap, guys, you can do it live. And so I just put up a YouTube video of me doing it live and just playing all the all the piano and singing it just to prove that it could be done. And 2 days later, they did it at PAX. And I was like, they probably plan on doing it. But then I was talking to Paul later, and he was like, no, dude, you definitely made us get our act together. So they actually saw my video and decided that they needed to learn it and learned it and did it at PAX, and it was so new that Storm screwed up like half the words, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah, I watched it. It was actually really cute to see.
So, confirmation that I am, in fact, the stimulus behind that, so I'm pretty proud of myself for that.
I'd be proud of that, too. And I think for Woodstock, it's been a while since I listened to it, I think they attempted it at Woodstock as well. A month or so ago.
They did. I think that's on the YouTubes.
Yes, it is on the YouTubes, and you can download it to places. There's a link on my website where you can download their Los Angeles Woodstock appearance. And you're playing with Molly soon, aren't you?
Yeah, January 14th, I think, is the date on that one, out in Los Angeles, so that should be fun.
Do you guys know what you're doing yet? Do you have, like, how do you, I want to know, when you're in New York, and she's all the way on the other side of the country in California, how do you guys rehearse for something like this?
It's basically just trusting each other that we're, you know, gonna, not blow it off, and that we're both competent enough to, you know, well, we picked a few songs that we know that we want to do, and I don't want to really ruin too much of it, but, we basically said, okay, we'll learn this, we're going to do it in this key, and then basically when I get there, we're going to have like 2 hours or something to rehearse the songs that we're going to do. And so hopefully it's just us putting in enough time individually that we can do it quickly once we finally get together. So
cool. And I guess since it's like, have you guys talked about what kind of things you're going to be performing yet for people? Is it going to be straight music or...
Well, I don't have any other talents, so if she's planning on doing something else, I'm a little worried. But I can't, like, juggle or make balloon animals or anything, but we've discussed it. We haven't really sat down and done the big talk about it yet. I mean, we've got some ideas we're throwing around, but nothing is set in stone yet, and it's likely that it won't be set in stone. I don't use a set list when I play. I just have some ideas, and I really play the crowd, you know, I kind of, depending on what they're feeling and how they're reacting to stuff, I play an entirely different set. So, I probably won't plan too much out ahead of time.
That's kind of like me in interviews. I have a general idea of what I want to talk about, but I never write questions down. And some people think, oh, you can't do it. I'm here, no, because things happen. You can't be completely stuck to some type of formula. It doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that'll make or break a show. You know, it's not even about what songs you play, but when you play them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can kill the energy off way too easily if you're not careful. So, yeah, we just kind of go for it.
What's, how long have you been playing music for?
Oh, boy. I have been playing piano since I was 2.
Wow!
Yeah, so I think that's... Before I was like, I don't know what age I was potty trained, but I want to say it was around the same time. So I've been playing piano for literally ever since I can remember. I never remember not playing music. I picked up guitar when I was in 9th grade because I wanted to start a band and no one played guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Started violin in 4th grade at school. That was like that's a really geeky instrument, but played violin. I was the only boy in the violin section.
Really?
And, yeah, it's a girl instrument. Guys played like the bass or something cool, you know?
Huh.
So, and then, a variety of other things that I just find lying around, but I'm not like a serious violin player. I'm actually pretty bad. It's basically piano or bust for me.
And how old are you now? So I'm kind of gauging how long you've been playing the piano for. You're 21 now?
I am 21 years old, that is correct.
That always blows my mind, and it's really, I don't know, some people might get angry at it, they might think that it's, oh, Joe, stop it, he says that you're like 12 or 14. That is kind of ageist, but for how much you have accomplished already by 21 blows my mind. And there was
that's nice of you, but, like, thank you, that's a very nice compliment. I was watching the Paul McCartney thing yesterday on ABC, and the Beatles were in, like, full international touring by 21, and I kind of was like, well, damn, like, I haven't done anything, you know what I mean? Like, because Paul McCartney is my gauge on the world, like,
okay.
He is, to me, like, he embodies music. He's like, you can't get more famous than Paul McCartney.
And but things were different back then.
Yeah, like, the hairstyle was different, too, but I don't know, I'm just, when I watch Paul and you watch, like, 85,000 people there, I'm just like, oh, man, like, there were, like, 12 people at my show last week. You know, it's very humbling, so.
Yeah, but I don't know. We're gonna play some music for about, I don't know. I have coming up, I have some Jonathan Coulton Code Monkey, and the reason why I'm playing that is because that's from his Thing a Week, and I want to talk, you did a Thing a Week thing, too, that I want to talk about. Then I have Symphony of Science, newest song, Our Place in the Cosmos. I have some Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back coming up, and then I have Mike Lombardo, the voicemail song, and once that's over, we will return on air here on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York. But if you still want to listen what we're talking about, come join us in Ustream chat. You can find the URL on the main page of party934.com. Do not go anywhere. More geeky pleasures coming right up. Welcome back to Geeky Pleasures. I am your party mixologist, Jules, and I have Mike Lombardo on the show with me at the moment, and we are discussing a whole bunch of different things right now. We're also in Ustream chat, so if you want to join us, if you go to ustream.tv and search Geeky Pleasures Radio Show, or if you go to party934.com and in the on-air DJ Says message box, you'll find the URL there. Thanks again, Mike, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk to you because I played one of Jonathan Coulton's songs that kind of made him more recognizable, and that was from the Things a Week thing. I got to pause this music here. Code Monkey. And you did that too, right?
I did. I ripped him off.
You ripped him off. And what did you... How long did you do that for?
If I'm not mistaken, I did it for 17 weeks, and then I hurt my wrist, and I had to stop. So that was kind of anticlimactic.
How did you hurt your wrist?
Repetitive strain. I have carpal tunnel now, so...
And I'm not going to ask the bad question about why you have the repetitive strain.
there's
children in chat, so I have to keep it kind of clean right now because I'm not used to having children in chat. So
I told you there's my fan base for you. So hello, fans.
Yeah. Hello, fans. There's nothing wrong with the children in chat, but I normally run a pretty adult. No. Don't be sorry. Whoever's apologizing. No reason to be sorry. It's just I have to be conscious of it because normally my shows are rated like PG-13 and above. They come with some parental guidance. So I'm no reason to be sorry at all. So please don't feel bad if you're here and you're younger and listening. The carpal tunnel, what is that from?
The who what now?
The carpal tunnel.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, actually, the reason is that that was when I was rehearsing in full swing with a trio all the time.
Okay.
And the Berkeley room for, like, reserving practice rooms is a little screwed up the way the system is, and so sometimes we'd end up in a room that wasn't really meant for what we were doing, and basically I couldn't mic a keyboard or anything. I would just be banging on a grand piano as hard as I could to kind of be louder than Andy on drums. And apparently when you do that nonstop for, like, 3 months, it just destroys everything inside your wrists, so that's what that's from. It's me trying to be louder than a drum set on a piano, which is definitely not louder than a drum set, so...
Let's talk about the trio, because people might not know what we're talking about here if they're not familiar with who you are, and what is the Mike Lombardo Trio?
The Mike Lombardo Trio is a trio with Mike Lombardo in it, and it's a piano trio, meaning there's no guitar, which, well, not as original as we had hoped. It's interesting, it's hard to do rock with no guitar. And so it's, my bass player, her name is Ellen, and she goes to Berkeley, and that's where I met her, and my drummer, his name is Andy, and he also goes to Berkeley, but not anymore. He's just recently defected to law school, but we won't talk about that. and so they're both still being schooled, but I met them, I met Andy because we were both trying out, a mutual friend of ours was putting together a metal band, and he called me and was like, dude, will you be my keyboard player? And I was like, dude, I can't play keyboard for crap, I'm a piano player. And he's like, well, you know, and I was like, I'm gonna do it. You know, he's a good buddy of mine. So I go down, I do the audition, and I'm just terrible. I'm just sucking it up. It's awful. And I leave, and the drummer that was trying out was Andy. And so we're like walking down the hallway, like, yeah, you suck. And he's like, what do you do? I'm like, I write songs. He's like, oh, you want to start a band? And I was like, yeah. And that was it, you know. And to me, that's hilarious, because had I not gone to this metal band audition, I mean, Andy's like he's my favorite person to work with ever. I think we make an incredible team, and I'm so fortunate that I get to work with him. And I never would have met him if I wasn't doing, you know, a metal band audition. Like, what the heck? So, so take the chance. You know, if someone invites you to do something strange, go for it.
If one of your trio members is still going to Berkeley, how do you guys practice and stuff? Like, how far is Boston from you?
Oh, it gets better. I am about 4.5 hours northwest of Boston. Ellen, our bass player, is still there, and she's incredibly busy, and so, like, literally I spent a week in Boston, and I saw her for, like, 20 minutes. Like, she's very, very busy. And so it's very tough to, even when we're physically in the same place, to kind of, you know, get her to settle down and do something with us. And Andy is in Indiana going to school, and Ellen actually lives in Chicago, so we're very, very spread out.
Oh, wow.
It's a big challenge. It's a lot of... The way it works is Andy is kind of the producer, and so I'll send him stuff that I'm working on, and he'll very quickly say, this will work, or this won't work, or, you know, and we'll... It's a lot of email and sending each other MP3s, and then whenever we've decided what we want to do with the song, we send it to Ellen, and she'll listen to it and just come up with a killer bass part. So it's a lot of email and internet. But I did go out last summer. I drove out there 11 hours by myself, picked up Andy, and we drove 2 more hours to Chicago and played some shows with Ellen. And so it's a lot of driving, and I have to do it again this summer. But, it, you know, it's always nice to play with those guys.
Indy Andy. So you call him Indy Andy, do you, according to... Is that Sammy who's in chat, assumingly? Yes.
I've never called him that, nor have I ever heard him called that, but I will be sure to pass it on.
And we're going to talk, is Jeff still here? Jeff, can you say something if you're still here in chat, please? You're working currently on a project with Jeff, and I think
he might have fallen asleep because he's old. Yeah, might be asleep.
The old man, Jeff. When he's not really that old, like, it makes me feel old because he's only a few years older than I am.
So. Yeah, Jeff's only 42. Jeff is not old at all, but the joke is that he is old. So, we won't ruin it.
Okay, and you guys are working on a project together. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, basically, I'm in a pop market, and so there's a lot of things. It's like a straitjacket. Your song has to be specifically this long. Your song has to hit a chorus in the first minute. You know, you have to be very... It's very constraining. And so a lot of the stuff I write doesn't work well in a pop environment. And a lot of it, also, if you look at my fan base, it's like teenage girls, and I come out and play these really, like, adult songs that bash women, and so it's, like, a terrible choice. Like, I don't know why that happened the way it did, and so I needed to find another outlet for these songs, and so I kind of just had all these songs that I couldn't play, just, like, stacked up, and then when my band's album came out, my grandma called my cousin and said, can you bring me a copy of Michael's album, but with only the good songs on it? And I was like, Grandma, what the hell? And she actually, so there's 10 tracks on the thing, and she cut it down to three songs. And so my grandma has this three-song, like, Fordham Session, like, limited edition or whatever. And I was like, Grandma, you're a bitch. But, and so, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that word. But,
no, you can say that word's okay. It's after 10 p.m. Eastern, so that word's okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was just a one-time thing, but she is. So, and I was like, well, what the heck, Grandma? I don't even know what song she picked that I don't want to know. So, basically, I go, well, if she doesn't like these songs, she's really not going to like these songs. And then I was like, oh, songs Grandma won't like, and that's the name of the album. And so I called Jeff, and I was like, Jeff, we're writing this album, and we're going to be as offensive as possible, and we're going to call it Songs Grandma Won't Like. And he was like, dude, I love it. So there's that.
And so the Herpes song is one of those songs on there?
It is. It's going to be an EP, so there's probably only be like 5 or 6 tracks on it.
Okay.
Jeff is supposed to be writing half of them. He hasn't written anything yet because he's old, so...
Well, apparently one's going to be ready for you by midnight his time tonight.
Yeah, because he lost a bet, and I told him he had to write a song this week. And so Jeff also has, like, 4 jobs, so he's really, really busy. So I cut him some slack, but he lost a bet. And I was like, you need to put a song up this week. That's your punishment. And he goes, okay. So I'm waiting to hear what it's going to be. But, yeah, the Herpes song's going to be on there. There's a song I wrote called Piano Don't Get Chicks, which is, like, a sarcastic view of my college years, and that's going to be on there.
I was hoping you were actually going to send that one to me, because I wanted to play it. That's the song that because you first when you did it on YouTube, you did it with guitar, yeah, and then you played it with piano, or was it the other way around that you did the two videos?
What happened is a friend on Twitter said, I wish someone would write me a song. I'm looking at you, Mike Lombardo, and I was like, oh, great. So I pulled the guitar, because obviously, you know, when you write a girl a song, it's the guitar, that's how it works. And so I did it on YouTube with a guitar, and I can't play guitar very well. And so when I'm, like, actually going to sell someone something, I'm not going to sell them something that sucks. So it's like, I need to do this on piano so it sounds competent. And I did the demo on piano. When I do it live, I do it on piano. So I think it's actually funnier on piano because of the whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on piano. Yeah.
For people who have no idea what we're talking about, why don't you explain the concept of the song? Because I think it's really brilliant.
The concept of the song is that I lived with 3 guitar players in college, and they always had chicks over constantly, and I never met any cool girls. And I was like, clearly I chose the wrong instrument. You know, that's obviously not like the deciding factor between what girls you meet, but that's what I felt like. I was like, what the heck, dude? So then I wrote, it's just basically a goofy song about, it literally started off as a sincere song for my friend. That was going to be sweet, but I was like, what am I doing? This is not going to work. Like, I don't play the guitar. And then I said that out loud to myself, and I was like, oh, well, there's a song. And so the song is about how you don't need to be talented. You just have to own a guitar, and chicks will be like, hey, you're hot. So,
yeah. I just think that, so it's like that, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but that thing about if you're a drummer or if you're the bass player or the guitar player or the lead vocalist in a rock group, they each have their own special talents or abilities to make it clean for my show today.
Yeah.
What was the song? And I wanted to write it down before tonight, but my day's been crazy busy. There's a video that you do that's on YouTube where you switch between the instruments. You're on the drums and you're on the piano, and I think you play the guitar at one point in it. What song is that? It's one of your newer ones.
That sounds like a few of them. I just did a new one called Abby Never, and I play a bunch of stuff in that. There's no guitar in there, though. Also, That'll Be the Day has a bunch of stuff in it. And Viva La Fry has a bunch of stuff in it. So.
Or maybe it's the I don't know. I don't know.
It's Abby Never. That's the newest one, and I played like 9 instruments for that one.
No, I haven't seen the newest one yet. When was the last time, besides going there quickly to grab a couple of your videos for my site today? It would have been, I don't know, 3 weeks ago that I was watching your videos last.
You probably saw That'll Be the Day, which I think you just played. So.
Also, I want to talk about Colby's song.
Oh, boy. Yes, Colby's song.
Yes.
What do you want to know?
I want to know, because as when we're talking on the phone, when you emailed me to be on your show, and I decided to listen to your stuff on YouTube before writing you back, I had already knew who you were because of Colby's song, and I didn't realize it, and I was like, oh my god, it's this dude, that song. I want to talk about, just tell people about it, because it's a really cool story, and it just warms up my heart, and it takes a lot to warm up my heart the way that this song did. So I want to talk about it a bit, because I think it's a really cool thing that you did for Colby's parents.
Basically what happened is I get my my Reddit.com social networking site, Twitter, kind of like news updates to my Twitter, and I saw it was a tweet. I don't remember the exact wording, but it's a lot to get into 160 characters. It said, Pixar flies up to dying girl's home to fulfill dying wish or something like that, and I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So I read this. Basically what happened is this girl named Colby, and she lived in Orange County, California, and she was, I think, like 12. Sweet little thing. She's adorable. Mm-hmm. And she had cancer, I think. And she wanted to see Up really bad, and they couldn't get her to the movie theater to see it because she was too sick. Mm-hmm. And I guess like she was getting worse and worse, and they called Pixar and explained what was up, and they actually put a guy on a plane with a copy of the DVD of the movie, which isn't on DVD yet, you know, at that time it was still in the theater. So they actually burned a DVD for this girl, put a guy on a plane, and fly the guy to her house. He comes in, and they watch the movie there. And she was so saved by this point that she couldn't even see more, and her mom had to tell her what was on the screen. And she died like 7 hours after she saw the movie. And I was like, well, that is the most depressing thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, it's rare that, you know, there's so much crazy stuff in the news now. I'm just usually like, nah, this world sucks. But I was, like, legitimately, like, upset. I was emotionally troubled. And I was like, well, yeah, that's really sad. And I kind of was like, I think I could write about this. And I kind of sat down and I wrote a song in, like, it was like 10 minutes. And the thing is, that's not like an astounding thing, because usually I write stories and the stories take a long time, but the story was done. You know, that's how it was. And so I just put music to it and I put it on YouTube, and then I was like, I felt better. That was my grieving process, you know? And so I was like, okay, I feel better. And then I went to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I had all these emails and, you know, like stuff was going on, and there was these articles, and all the articles were, because news was spreading around the whole world. People were looking at this girl and hearing about this thing, and my video was getting linked like in all those articles, and I was getting phone calls from the reporter who wrote the initial article. And I think at the peak of it, like, the video was getting viewed like once every 20 seconds or something crazy, and I'm just sitting there like totally unbelievable, because it's not about me at all, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm getting famous. It's like, this story touched so many people that they just want to know as much as they can about everything, every aspect of it. And what's amazing to me is, you know, it took 10 minutes and I put the song up, and it's so crazy how, like, I mean, the family sent me baby pictures of her and stuff, and they were like, it really helped us through our difficult time, it's really helped our family and all this stuff. And I'm just like, if you can just take 10 minutes and help so many people that much, like, that just blows my mind. You know, it's an incredible, incredible thing, and I still can't really wrap my brain around it, because it's really weird, you know?
And it's, I don't know, it's an amazing song, and when it was linked to me on Twitter in June, I guess it would be now, I cried. And just when you're telling the story again, I was getting all teary, because it's just really, and as a parent myself, I can't even imagine being in, losing my child would be absolutely devastating. And if somebody were to do what you did, I know how much I would appreciate that too, and it would help deal with the loss of your child, because your children are supposed to outlive you, not the other way around.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And that's what the family was saying, and I don't know how to respond to when I get, you know, stuff from the family. I'm like, I can't fathom like a tenth of what you must be feeling. Like, I have no idea how that's gonna feel like. I just can't put it in my brain. And so, like, anything I can do to help is, you know, awesome. But I mean, I just it's like the most sad thing I've ever heard, and I'm, you know, not emotionally connected at all to these people. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine being in the family. It's got to be absolutely devastating. So, I mean, I'm glad I could help, but it was really amazing to just sit and watch. You can, I mean, YouTube shows you like where hits come from and countries and all that stuff, and it was just mm-hmm. amazing to watch people from all over the entire world. They were really like coming together behind this girl, and just it was absolutely incredible. So I'm still just in awe of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I think that was a pretty awesome thing that you did. We're going to go back to some music here for a few minutes. I have some Trans-Siberian Orchestra because Thanksgiving is over in the States, so I get to play some Christmas music. And then I have some Joe Covenant Lamb, The Saga of Ken Plume, and some Aqua because that's what I like. And then and then we're going to play some more Mike Lombardo. The song will be Fly Mary. And once that's done, we will return back to the interview here with Mike Lombardo on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York. Here on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York, you're currently listening to Mike Lombardo's Fly Mary, and Mike is on Geeky Pleasures with me today, co-hosting, and we've talked about his music and people he's performed with and stuff for the past hour. So now we're going to switch gears, and we are going to discuss geeky stuff, because it is Geeky Pleasures. So, we're going to talk gaming, because you're a gamer, yeah?
I am a gamer.
What are some of your favorite games?
Hands down, my favorite game ever is the original Halo. Just I've had hours and hours of enjoyment with that game. I'm also a huge fan of Bioshock, and like Max Payne 2 is a big favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Huge Tomb Raider fan. The whole series, got the whole series, got the books, got all the games in the original boxes, have the level editor, and they're really big into Tomb Raider. So, yeah.
What else? Just, that's it? You have to like more games than that.
I am going to set, well, anything that's a first-person shooter, basically. I'm looking over at my game stack right now. Gears of War was decent. Portal, Half-Life were all good. I'm really into Left 4 Dead. That's impressive. That's a good, mm-hmm. solid game. Splinter Cell is fantastic. What else? I'm about to set the bar for Geeky Gamer on this show, and I'm pretty sure it won't be surpassed for a while. I don't know if you're familiar. Are you familiar with Bioshock at all? Have you played Bioshock?
No, I'm familiar with it, but I met with the developers while I was at PAX, but I haven't played it. No.
Oh well, if you are familiar with Bioshock, if you've seen it played, the lead character Jack, I guess his name is, but they never refer to him as that, has these little chain link tattoos on either wrist, mm-hmm. and I actually have that tattoo.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you going to feel when you're like an old wrinkled man and it's old and wrinkled and stretched out?
That's not the only thing that's going to be old and wrinkled and stretched out, so I'm probably not going to care about that.
Here's the thing. I have nothing personally wrong against tattoos, and if people want to do that, but I'm one of these type of people where I have piercings and most people don't get to see them, but and I'm fine with that because they really don't get to stretch and do crazy things as your body starts to sag and become not as appealing as you get into your older years. And always some of the tattoos that people choose, I just think, what are you going to do when you're like 95 years old and it's like completely destroyed?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, and obviously you need to, like, put thought into it first, but first of all, it's on my wrist, and so if my wrist is sagging, that's the least of my problems, so that's not good. Also, you know, I put sunscreen on it and stuff, so it doesn't look like crap, and it's very easy to cover, so I can be professional when I need to, but, I mean, come on, if you're a musician, that's totally in the acceptable, you know, thing to have tattoos.
Yeah.
The other one I have is piano keys, and I feel like, you know, it's not like I'm not going to like piano. It's a pretty safe bet, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Bioshock, what other games do you play regularly? You said you were looking over at your shelf?
I am, but the thing is, I can't see the things that are on my Steam right now. Mirror's Edge. I was so impressed by Mirror's Edge. I'm really, really into Mirror's Edge. It's a very cool game. I think like games fall into like the entertainment category and like the art category, and I think Mirror's Edge is totally art. It's a work of art. It's just genius.
Cool. And you, when we were talking on the phone, didn't you tell me that you used to be a bit of a, or you maybe you still are, a computer kind of geeky kid taking it apart or building them, or what did you do with computers when you were a kid? Like, what was your whole thing there with technology?
Oh, I take apart, like, everything that I own. So, I all the computers I have, I've built. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any consoles, like Xbox or anything like that. It's all PC. And so, I have, like, 3 or 4 PCs, and they're formidable. They're, you know, one's like a fire-breathing monster, but yeah, that's how I learn about stuff. I was like, well, why does it work? And I always want to take it apart. And I've broken my fair share of stuff by taking it apart and not being put together, but it's a learning experience, you know? So, yeah, I'm a total geek.
And one of the things, what other geeky things do you enjoy? Do you like science fiction?
You know what? I usually, when people ask me what books I like, I usually respond that I can't read. But I'm not going to, because there's, like, too many people listening for me to, like, sound like an idiot. My favorite, I don't read a lot of science fiction, but Arthur C. Clarke, the Rendezvous with Rama series, mm-hmm. is just, like, mind-blowing. It's just so incredible. I'm a huge fan of that. It's, like, awesome. So that's at the bar for me.
What about fantasy? Are you into fantasy at all?
I feel like I'm going to alienate a lot of my fans right now, but I really can't get into the fantasy thing. I don't know why. I've never been able to read it and just not go, this is silly. You know what I mean? I just can't, really? I can't suspend my reality. Yeah. I don't know why that is. I think it's because all the stuff that I'm into and like my characters that I write, they're all deeply rooted in reality. And so even though they're goofy, there's some identifiable thing there, but I can't get past it if it's like a flying horse or something. I'm not knocking it. I just personally can't really get into it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. Well, what about for movies and stuff? Do you watch a lot of science fiction for movies?
Actually, my movie selection is almost all horror and thriller. I really love scary movies. I'm a big fan of Saw, as I think we mentioned. I love scary movies. Because it's like the oldest trick in the book, so I think there's like a huge push to just do new and innovative things with it. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. there's only so many things that can be scary, and so it's I always like to see like an inventive horror movie, something that really pushes the limits, and they're fun. Or when they're so bad that they're hilarious, I like those too.
Oh my god! Okay, is this true, or is Joe just trying for me to start a fight with you? Do you hate Star Trek?
I have no opinion on Star Trek. I've never seen it, so he's clearly just making stuff up.
How can you not have seen... Okay, we have to talk.
Well, I'll tell you why, because when I was growing... Actually, it's still true. I don't have cable. I never had cable. When I was growing up, I never watched TV. I've never seen Ninja Turtles, Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men, Superman. I've never seen any of it. So, it's because I wasn't watching TV. I was, like, playing the piano. So that's where the trade-off occurs. You sacrifice your coolness for piano.
Okay, but there's this thing called I can't say it because it's illegal in the States to do, or it's not in Canada, but there's ways of watching these movies now or these TV shows where, you know what, there's no excuse not to see them.
I have another excuse too, actually.
Okay, what?
Until like 3 months ago, I didn't have a fast internet connection, and so I couldn't even watch YouTube videos. So
really?
Really. I actually, Blog TV, which is like pretty much, I think, probably Ustream's competitor, so they probably don't want me saying this, but basically it's like Ustream, and their producer emailed me and was like, we want you to do a weekly show, you know, we're going to promote you or whatever, and I actually had to get faster internet so I could take the gig pretty much.
Huh.
So, yeah, dial-up, like, if it's not, the thing is, like, when dial-up came out, it was, the internet was text, and so it worked great, mm-hmm. but as soon as, you know, pictures and videos started to happen, and all of a sudden, that doesn't cut it.
Okay, then, what about Star Wars? Please tell me, if you haven't seen Star Wars, then I'm going to even I don't know.
I've seen Star Wars. Actually, it was kind of on tonight. I think I need to, like, review. I haven't actually sat down and, like, watched them all the way through in a long time. My brother's really into it, so it's always on. But I did just watch The Blue Harvest yesterday, the Family Guy Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And, oh, geez, it's hilarious. It's so good. And I'm really... The second one comes out next month, and I can't wait. So I'm totally fine with Star Wars. And if we're talking about gaming, there's a lot of really good Star Wars video games.
Yes, there is.
Let's see. I think, like, well, obviously, the Dark Jedi Knight, you know, Dark Forces was great. Jedi Academy was awesome. Mm-hmm. And there's one that no one ever owned. It was, like, this really obscure one. It was the Phantom Menace game. They made it. And yeah. I have, like, the only copy ever made, but it's so fun. So I love it.
Yeah, no, Chris is asking. He just came in late. He's wondering, where did I find you? He's asking rural Pennsylvania. No. He's from, it's Syracuse is upstate New York. Am I
it
right?
It is upstate New York, yes. It's actually, there's a park about 3 blocks from my house, and that park is the geographic center of New York State. So I'm like right in the middle of the state. Yeah.
Okay, what other geeky things are you into? So there was, you had no Batman or Spider-Man or any of that on TV growing up. What about comics? Did you get any of those in your small little town that you grew up in?
It's not the town that was small. I mean, it was, but that's not the reason. The reason was that, A, my parents didn't let me sit in my butt and watch TV all the time, which is kind of good, I guess.
And but you can buy the comic books and read them.
I didn't have any money. I still don't have any money. I'm not Amish. We have, like, power and stuff. Come on. No, honestly, I was playing an instrument all the time, and that was, like, what I did for fun. And so there was really no reason for me to go and, like, buy a comic book, because my idea of a good time was, like, sitting by myself working on music or watching a concert, you know?
Yeah.
And it's terrible, and that's why I have no friends, but, you know.
So you were a band geek.
Yeah, but I actually was never in band. I was in orchestra.
Okay, so I see, we don't have orchestra here in Kanuckistan land. At least not where I grew up in Kanuckistan land, and I've never heard of orchestra. So how is that different than band?
A band is your woodwinds and your brass instruments, mm-hmm. your clarinets, your trumpets, your trombones, your
yes.
percussion. Your orchestra is your string instrument. So you have first, second violin, viola, cello, bass. That's your orchestra. It's the strings. If
so
they're together, then it's a symphony.
So you had classes when you went to school that just taught string instruments?
Yeah, orchestra was a class. And actually what happened is, I was in it since fourth grade, and we actually, the way it worked out, the teacher kept like getting moved around as I was moving up in grade level, so I actually had the mm-hmm. same orchestra teacher pretty much my entire career, fourth through my senior year. And her husband got in a car accident like my junior year, I think, and she was out for like 3 months taking care of him. And the substitute teachers they would send in had no clue what they were doing. So I ended up conducting my high school orchestra for like 3 months. And so now it's like my favorite thing ever because, like, I mean, you can't do that and not think it's cool afterwards. Like, conducting an orchestra is the coolest thing in the world. It's like the music equivalent of skydiving.
That's pretty cool. Holy cow. See, I wish, I don't know why they don't do orchestra here. They just have from grade 7 and... Grade 7, you have to take band. Like, you have to take music in school up until grade 6. And then grade 7, you have to take band. Every single student has to take band in grade 7. And then after grade 7, it's an elective. But they don't have orchestra. I've never heard of that being offered here.
That's
really
weird.
Sad. That is weird.
So you can stack that up with the boots and the milk in a bag.
Okay, according to Carson Nuclear Wizard, it depends on the school. But I grew up in how many different school towns? I went to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different schools growing up in 4 different towns and cities, and not a single one offered orchestra.
That's bizarre. See, we were a big sports school, though, so we didn't have a lot of, like, funding, so it was a pretty small program. But the sports team is where all the money was. So in some districts, like, music's an even bigger thing, and they have more available.
Yeah, and
so
Carson. Yeah, no. Carson said in his school it was music or band because parents had to. Maybe I remember. I don't know. I just know now from my kids that they have, like, music is mandatory till grade 6, and then grade 7 they have to take band for a year, and they have to take an art as well, and then afterwards for grade 8 it's an elective. Interesting. Okay, we're going to play some music one little bit more time here. I have some Pollen Storm, The Captain's Wife Lament. I have some Duffy Mercy. And I have Mike Lombardo Trio, Rock Song. Did we talk about Rock Song already? I think we did.
No, we did not.
Okay, We will talk about rock song and a few other things when we come back. Oh, I also have my daughter Incredible already queued up, huh? When we come back very shortly, this is Party Mixologist Jules sitting down with Mike Lombardo, and you're listening to Geeky Pleasures here on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York. This is Party Mixologist Jules, and you're listening to Geeky Pleasures here on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York. And I am here with geeky musician Mike Lombardo. And you're currently listening to his song, which is, well, it's from Mike Lombardo Trio, and the song is Rock Song. Do you want to quickly tell us about the song?
I would love to tell you about the song. We had a songwriting assignment to write a rock song, and that was it. And it was a very open-ended thing, and I was like, well, that's all I do, you know, I'm going to change it up a little bit. And so I wrote a rock song. I wrote a song about a rock. And the song is about a rock who is very cynical and great. He's like one of those, I'm sure everyone knows, like that really old guy who just doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
That's him. Because I figured if you're a rock, you've been there for like 12 billion years or whatever, like you're not going to care by that point, right? You know? And my teacher said, it's weird. It feels like he suffered a loss, but he's not too upset about it. And I'm like, well, of course he's not upset about it. He's a rock. Like, regardless, he's going to be there for forever either way. So he's totally just passive and cynical at everything. And I think it's funny in a terrible sort of way, I guess.
Yeah, so actually Chris just finished saying in Ustream chat, Jules doesn't swear, and the reason why, because you're joining us late, Chris, is I'm censoring myself tonight, is because there's like 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds tuning in, and I'm behaving myself for once. You should be proud of me. Okay, so what other songwriting competitions or songwriting assignments, because this is for school, not for Song Fu, did you have to do that were kind of like that? What other topics for school?
A lot of it, they focus more on the craft itself. Like, write a verse refrain, but you can only use four stress syllables for line and four lines. Very, like, the things that are, they're like a straitjacket to write into.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, impossible. And so you're literally just working all week to try to come up with something that sounds like a song that fits the requirements. And it's not about coming up with a good song that you're going to play and put on your album, because everyone sucked, and that's not the point. It's about learning how to write under really strenuous conditions. So when you get your whole tool set back, you feel like you can do more with it, you know?
Yeah. I want to ask you a few more geeky questions that I kind of ask all of my guests. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
That's a great question. I actually ask my friends that all the time. I would go for flying, hands down.
Why?
Because it's awesome.
Well, that's...
Because I'm fascinated by, like, being... Like, I love looking out the window of the airplane or being up on, like, the 40th floor of a building. Like, being high above the earth just is so cool to me. And I think there's also that sense of, like, how much I don't matter. Like, how much more there is than you. You know, it's humbling, and it's nice to have that reality check. But also because it's cool.
Okay.
I think you could get chicks with that.
Yeah,
you could get chicks.
You could get chicks with it, I suppose. Have you seen the movie Stand By Me?
I haven't.
Oh, dude, then I can't ask you this question because it really won't make any sense. All
right.
Yeah, someone's mind reading. That's what I would want Professor Xavier's powers. If I could have superpowers, it would be either like anything to do like telekinesis or mind reading or the ability to screw with people's minds very easily.
That's called being a songwriter, so I kind of have that.
Yeah, I guess so. You can make people cry, which is good. We were talking about that actually on the phone, is that it's making people laugh is one thing. Making people be able to cry is completely another one. Okay, Ticklish Girl, what is your topic? Because I asked and I am not quite sure what you're wanting to talk about. So if you could let me know.
That's 27.
I think we're at 28 for my boots. That would be 29. We have about 10 minutes, so Ticklish Girl, if you can let me know in chat what your topic is, then...
What a goofy topic that is.
What do you think is more ticklish, girls or guys? That's really silly. I don't know. Who do you think is more ticklish, Mike?
I'm not ticklish. So if it's between you and me, then it's clearly gross.
Yeah, if it's between you and me, I am the more ticklish one here. No, ticklish troll can't be a troll because she's playing me wonderful compliments, and trolls are mean. They don't pay compliments. Yeah. Trolls don't do that at all. No, and actually, I know more women. I don't know if it's because her skin is more sensitive or what, but I think women would be more ticklish than guys.
I honestly don't feel like I have the knowledge to make a statement on that. I'm not trained in ticklishness, so.
Yeah.
I can only speculate. I can't really make any informed decision.
And now people are letting my secrets out in chat. Yay. Okay, we have a question for you. Do you like Green Day?
Oh, no, I don't like Green Day. Here, but I respect Green Day because they really, if you look at like all the rock of the early 90s, they were all like, it's Green Day. Like, they broke so much ground and allowed so many other fans to do what they're doing, you know? They were really innovators. That being said, I'm not really into Green Day now because they're really now into like the makeup and the image and looking cool rather than like writing good music. And I feel like they've kind of jumped the shark. Like, it's not about how cool you look. If you really write awesome music, you shouldn't have to worry about looking cool, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I do have a lot of respect for like they've done like Weezer. Even if you don't like Weezer, they really did so much for like the rock scene and the alt scene. Like, they're just, you know, legendary in that sense. So you gotta kind of respect it.
Okay, and who's your NFL team? But you don't watch sports, so that's you're not a sports person.
I don't, but my dad loves the Bills, so.
Okay. Do you guys have any more questions here for Mike in chat in our last 8 minutes or so? If you do, fire them out so we can get to them. What else did... So you wouldn't be able to, like... If you didn't watch Superman and Batman and stuff, have you at least seen the movies?
Yes, I've seen the movies. I'm particularly a big fan of Spider-Man. That's the new Spider-Man. They're good. You know, they're decent movies.
Yes. So, who's your favorite? There's always this argument between who's the better superhero, Batman or Superman.
It's clearly Batman.
How come?
Because he's just a guy who's awesome. Whereas, like, I mean, if you bullets bounce off of you, then like you don't have to be a badass. You can just walk around and, you know what I mean? Like, you're automatically super. But Batman like really goes out of his way, and I think he's like he's a cool guy. He tries hard.
Okay, what's your Hogwarts house?
I'm unaffiliated with Harry Potter.
What?
I feel like I'm just breaking hearts right now. I'm just breaking so many hearts. I don't know. I'm just... I think it's too fantasy for me. It's a little... It's weird because it's for kids, but it like tries to be for adults, and it's confused. It has identity crisis.
Okay.
J.K. Rowling has skill, but I'm not into it.
Okay. Do you cook?
I do cook. I cook a non-wide variety of things, but I'm Italian, so I can make some serious pasta. I'm the scrambled egg king. So, if the girls are wondering do I make breakfast in bed, I do breakfast in bed. So, Mickey waffles and pancakes and bacon.
That's fantastic to know. Dark white or milk chocolate? A chocolate question.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to go with milk chocolate. Because dark chocolate is a little too strong for me, and white chocolate is the name of my rap side project, so that just leaves me. That was a joke. I don't actually have a rap side project.
I know, but you're supposed to say all chocolate. Should never...
Well, if I'm supposed to say, you could just answer for me if you...
No.
You know.
No, that's just my answer. My answer is all chocolate. Chocolate is...
Well, we do not see eye to eye on that.
That's
I'm more
okay.
About the peanut butter.
You're more about the peanut butter?
Like the Reese's and the Butterfingers.
Yes. I don't know. I'm not a Butterfingers fan, but I have this huge Reese peanut butter cups and Reese pieces are great. Who is your favorite cell phone girl?
Oh, okay. Well, I think you played the voicemail song.
Yes.
So the story there is that I worked in the admissions office at Berkeley, and part of my job was to talk to the kids that are coming to audition to the school. And it turned into me talking about the songwriting department, and that turned into me bringing my band and playing my songs and then talking about the songs in the context of the songwriting department at Berkeley. And we played the voicemail song for a particular crowd of applicants, and I see these girls in the back waving their cell phones, and I'm like, it's not a ballad, what are they doing? I'm like, oh yeah, this song's about phones. And so they were christened the cell phone girls, and Alyssa, who is in the chat, is my favorite Siphon Girl.
So,
she's like our first fan. She's like the first Mike Lombardo fan.
That is so great. And how long ago was this? How many years ago?
Oh, that was, I don't even know, a little over a year, probably. So I guess we've come a long way, but I'm very thankful.
Okay, Trouble Singer URLs are removed right now, so you need to go like www.space, the site, then a space in the .com. Any other questions? We have like 5 minutes left here, so if you have questions for Mike, you need to get them in. Oh, let's give out your websites, where people can find you online.
Oh, okay. Well, if you put Mike Lombardo in Google, you'll get me and a creepy old guy, and I'm not the creepy old guy, I'm the other one. But my website is MikeLombardoMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also my YouTube, Mike Lombardo Music, and okay. So you should check that out. Also, Twitter is Mike Lombardo. Ustream is Mike Lombardo. You know, everything else is Mike Lombardo, basically. Mm.
And but, then there's the TooMuchAwesome.ning.com?
Org. Well, it's actually, we bought the org, so TooMuchAwesome.org.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go there and meet a bunch of awesome musicians, and it's not like you can just listen to them, you can actually meet them and talk to them, and, you know, we make our artists kind of interact with people, it's like a rule, so you can actually, if you dig someone's stuff, you can check them out and say hey, and that kind of thing.
That's really cool. What else? Do you have any, before you play with Molly in Los Angeles in the new year, do you have anything else coming up where people could check you out if they're in the New York area, state?
Well, I actually am kind of, I just did my last show, I'm kind of taking a month off from touring because we're working on the new album, but I do a live show on Blog TV every Sunday night. U.S. Eastern Time is 8 o'clock, and that's on the website as well. So if you want to check out the Blog TV show every week, you can tune into that.
Cool.
Yes.
What else? Oh, I have to, before Joe gets more crotchety, Joe Covenant Lamb, I played the Saga of Ken Plume earlier. He is my featured independent musician for the month of November. To find out more information about Joe, listen to some of his songs, and find out where you can download some of his songs for free. If you go to my website, there's two ways you can go to my website. It's either juliashera.com, but since my name is like a weird one, if you go to geekypleasures.com, it will get you to the same place, and it's easy to remember. So go to geekypleasures.com. You'll actually, Mike is my Geek of the Week, so you'll find a little bit more about Mike, and he's actually going to be my independent artist for next month. But Joe is my independent artist for this month, and you'll see in the featured carousel, you'll see a link to Joe, his bio, music, where you can get music for free. Or if you scroll down the right-hand side of my website, you'll see this little box that says Joe Covenant Lamb, and underneath of it, it says either featured band or musician or whatever of the month, but it's easy to find. So, what else? We have... Joe is also on TMA, Too Much Awesome. I don't know what it is about TMA, but it sounds really dirty to me when it's put to TMA. It really is. It's like if you're mispronounce it, it can be naughty. People
that
think
makes
I'm saying
it more awesome.
Yeah, people think I'm saying an N instead of an M. Exactly, TNA instead of TMA. What else? We have just over a minute left here. Do you want to say before we go, before Geeky Pleasures ends?
Well, I would like to thank you for having me, because I've had a fantastic time.
I'm so glad you could be here. And you know, you can come back anytime that you have anything you want to push, or
great.
Just
thank
hang
you.
Out, or geek out, or whatever. I'd love to have you again.
Yeah, and I want to thank everyone for listening. I love my fans so much. I adore you all. So thank you for listening to me.
Yes, thank you everybody who tuned in. Thank you to all the new people who came and well, I played Joe, I played the Saga of Ken Plume, so if you didn't listen to it or hear it, not my fault. So yes, thanks Mike so much for taking 2 hours out of your time tonight and geeking out and all that other stuff. It was very much appreciated. So you know what, if you guys aren't familiar with Mike, can't remember the links, are actually to his website. Is on my website right now, and you'll, in, what day is it today? So 3 more days, there'll be a bio and stuff about Mike on my website, since he will be my featured independent musician for the month of December. Once again, thanks, Mike. Now, just because Geeky Pleasures is over doesn't mean that you should go anywhere. I am on air for 3 more hours playing all Canadian artists to celebrate my Canadian flavor, including some of my favorite independent Canadian artists, so you will not want to miss that. This is Party Mixologist Jules saying thank you for tuning in. Please don't go anywhere. Canadian music coming up right here on Party 93.4, 102.5 FM in the Hudson Valley, New York.